Okay, friends, I'm going to invite you to return to your seats, find your Bibles, grab a pen, come expecting the Lord to speak. All right, let's pray. Lord, I know it. You are among your people. Where else would our God be? You are among your people. We are here to worship you. We are here to give our attention to what it is that you said and are saying to your people. Would you teach us as we sit at your feet to hear well? Would you grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we would understand the things that you are saying to us, the things that are written in your word? Would you grant us insight into how these things touch down in our lives day by day? Would you make us people who are committed to saying yes to whatever it is that the Lord Jesus Christ says yes to? Lord, would you make us a people who delight in you and then delight in the things that you say, delight in the things that you do, because we need to be more like Jesus. We want to love the things that Jesus loves. We want to be about, just like Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. We want to be about the business of Jesus, who is about the business of the Father. And we want to see that at work in our lives. We don't want simply to study these things. We want to study them to show ourselves approved by living it out. Help us live it out. Help us believe your word that this is livable. Forgive us where maybe we've forgotten that as we read certain parts. Lord, would you draw us back to yourself? Lord, would you reveal yourself to us and your ways? May it be a fun time even, getting to know our Jesus, who is full of joy and delight in being with his people and doing the works of God. Lord, would you make us a people who delight in the things you delight in, and give us the courage to join in. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you open up the book of Acts, please? As I often do when we start a new series, I generally try to give you my best understanding of why we might be in these scriptures at this time. And so I always feel a little bit weird about that at the same time, because in one sense, I don't feel like I need to defend the scriptures. Like, just, this is God's word. We're just going to be in God's word. I probably need to give you an explanation if we're not going to be in God's word, right? I hope so. I think that's sort of our shared understanding and commitment. But there's always, as well, this, well, God's word is big. And so although all of it is appropriate for us, maybe some parts are especially appropriate in certain seasons or times. And so that's always why I'm interacting with the Lord about, well, where are we going next? Why Acts? Why now? Well, in one sense, it's a delightfully fun book. Like, Acts is a fun, interesting book to read. It's like adventure with God, right? There's actually a title of a book called Adventures with God. You should read it, because it's a guy who lives out the book of Acts today. Well, he's dead now, but he did in the 1960s, I think. Why Acts now? Well, I think God's calling us back to some fundamentals and some foundational stuff, and you can find a lot of it in the book of Acts, actually. We see Jesus building his church, and we want to see the church built on the rock. Let's make sure the church is built on the rock, and Acts is where we see Jesus building his church. We should probably take a look at that. Yet as I have been praying, and I've been praying into for at least a month, Lord, like, where, and asking other people, like, pray for me, pray for us, like, where are we going next as we, you know, we typically start a new teaching series in the fall, where are we going to be? I felt like the, you know, here's a baseball analogy, forgive me if this doesn't really land with you, but baseball's changed slightly, but in, for most of baseball history, you'd see the pitcher on the mound, right? And he's looking at the catcher, and the catcher's bent down, and he's doing this signal between his knees, right? He's sending a signal to the pitcher saying, this is the pitch that I want, and here's where I want it. But the pitcher used to stand like this, right? And look at the catcher and read the signal, and then he'd do, or he'd do, uh-huh. I feel like for about the past month, I've been the pitcher going, uh-uh. And I keep getting the same signal. And so at a certain point, you know, when the pitcher and the catcher aren't connecting well, someone makes a trip to the mound, right? And so I've had several of what feels like trips to the mound where I'm like, I'm arguing with you about this pitch. And you're like, well, I'm still giving you the same pitch, and sort of the question of who's in charge. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to do my best. This isn't necessarily the text or passage or book that I would have chosen. I'm shaking off the signal, right? But it's the signal I keep getting to the best of my understanding, right? And this is an organic process. I bring baggage to this. I don't read, see, hear things perfectly at all. But I'm trying my best. And it's usually, you know, one of the ways that you tend to think this might be God is if it's something you don't want to do, and especially as you examine sort of your reasons for it. And I had to start examining some of my reasons for why would I perhaps not want to go into the book of Acts? Because it's, you know, it's a delightfully fun book. Why wouldn't I want to do that? Well, let me give you a different analogy. When I moved here in 2014, my dad and I took this fantastic trip. My wife and our two boys at the time, they flew here. But my dad and I rented a U-Haul, and we packed all of, well, we had movers do it, but we had the movers pack all of our life into the back of this U-Haul truck, and we start this trip here. And I feel a little bit like I'm on that trip at the moment, in a different sense. I'm shaking off the signal because it feels like, you know, I'm in the U-Haul and I'm the driver, right? And Jesus is next to me, and you, the congregation, are next to Jesus in the passenger seat. And I know the bumper sticker. Forget the bumper sticker if God is your co-pilot switch seats. That's not what I'm talking about, right? Ignore that silly bumper sticker. I'm driving here, right? That's the role that God has entrusted to me. So I'm driving, you know, at least as far as leading the congregation, this teaching series, that kind of thing. I'm driving. And I feel like Jesus, you know, my catcher, who's now beside me, is saying, take this road. Take this road of the book of Acts. Take this road. And I'm arguing with him, saying, I know that road. I've read that book. I like that road. That's an amazing road. The scenery is incredible. It's winding. It's got twists and turns and bumps. And it's fantastic. I love that road. It's awesome. Why would I be worried about taking that road? Because all our stuff's in the back, right? What's all our stuff? Well, we bring all of the stuff with us in our Christian lives, right? Everything that I believe about God and the church and how we operate, our relationship to society, the world, the way that Jesus says he's going to build his church, the way that Jesus says he structures the church, the way that he expects that we are going to, the way that we think we're going to sort of live this Christian life day in and day out. That's all our stuff in the back, and I bring that with us, and lots of it's really good. But taking this road has the potential to have some things shift around. And sometimes when our stuff gets jostled, right, we start to feel uncomfortable, right? The book of Acts has that potential. The book of Acts has the potential to ask questions about some of the things that we have believed and the things that we have practiced, as all parts of Scripture do, right? Though maybe more so in this book. And so I've been shaken off the signal, and I feel like I keep getting this direction, take the book of Acts. So I'm doing my best. Maybe I got it wrong. If you're worried about your stuff, can we agree that Jesus can be in two places at once, sort of up front with us, but also in the back of the U-Haul and all of the stuff that we believe? And instead of like just assuming that he's just going to tear everything apart, could we say maybe it's going to be a little bit more like some things might get moved along the way? And Jesus might open some boxes or rearrange some things, but he tends to do it in conversation with us as part of the adventure along the road. And that's just the journey of life with Jesus. And it'll be okay. I think it'll be okay. All right? I hope that helps somewhat. Sorry if I lost you along the way. Okay, book of Acts. You know, I mentioned this thing about Jesus messing with our boxes, because I actually see that in the book of Acts itself. So I'm going to read the passage for you. We're going to see it here on the screen. Thank you. So this is the first eight verses of the book of Acts. I'll just read it for you. In my former book, Theophilus, this is Luke writing, He says, I wrote about all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. So he's saying, Theophilus, I wrote you a book. We call it the Gospel of Luke. Acts is part two. He says, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke with them about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is the word of the Lord. We say thank you to God for his word. Yes. Do you see Jesus dealing with their boxes? Look at verse 6. Is it? You see their box coming out in conversation with them. What I mean by their box is their particular belief about who God is and how he is about, has been and is about to act in the world. Remember that they thought, the Jewish people were under Roman oppression. They were an occupied country. Caesar was their enemy, but Caesar's also the one in charge. And they have been waiting for this miracle-working Jesus to give the Romans the boot. When are you going to take over? Because our scriptures have led us to believe that the Messiah, the king, is going to be king of the whole world. And you haven't yet kicked Caesar out. We're still paying taxes to him. Our enemies are still in our land. We're occupied here. So Jesus, is now the time that you're going to actually start that mission. That's what they've got in the back of their U-Haul. And Jesus doesn't do with their box what he would like, what they would like. He says, it's not for you to actually know about that. Interestingly, he does answer their question, but at a very different level. We'll talk about that maybe another time, but he messes with their boxes. If he did it to them, and you got to remember, like, these people spent 3.5 years in intense training with Jesus. There's no one who knows Jesus better than these guys, right? At this point, yet they still brought with them some understanding that needed adjustment. Might that not also be the same for 21st century Baptist people? Or does everyone have every box in the right place? I felt Jesus messing with some of my boxes this week, so I don't have all of this stuff figured out, and it was in the book of Acts. So I'm not talking about, oh, this is Ben's opportunity to mess with Unity's theology. It's like, it's messing with mine, okay? But we better expect that, because that's where it starts for these guys, right? And is that okay? Will we let him? Will we let him rearrange our boxes? Can we trust him to take care of our stuff? Is our stuff more important to us than actually what Jesus thinks or wants or wrote or expects from us? Maybe just all that to say, if they needed some adjustments, no matter how long we have known Jesus or worshiped in a church, we still do too. And we can trust him as he addresses things along the way. And we'll have good conversations about it, I hope. Notice that Jesus shifts the agenda from what they are most concerned about to saying, here's what the Father is actually going to do. Here's what's really important. And what does he say is the first thing that's like top of the agenda for Jesus? Just look here. I was pointing at the scriptures, not realizing it wasn't there anymore. Alas. They talk to him about restoring a political kingdom, and Jesus' response is, actually, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus' top priority in the book of Acts, is the Holy Spirit. In fact, Luke makes it really clear that Jesus only operated through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have talked about this, but let me just remind you. Look at the beginning, like it's right in the text. This isn't Ben making it up. I wrote to you, verse 1, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit. Everything Jesus did, he did through the Holy Spirit. We really brought this out when we worked through the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says numerous times and in different ways, I'm not speaking on my own. I'm only speaking what the Father has given me. I'm not doing these things on my own. I'm only doing what I see the Father doing. Philippians 2 talks about how Jesus laid aside his own power and authority, all that went with the right, his rights and privileges of being God, everything that came with him. He didn't lay aside his divinity, but he laid aside everything that we would associate with divinity. He gave that all up and lived a human life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you go to Acts 10, please? I want to give you just one more scriptural example so that you don't think this is just Ben making this up. I don't know why I'm turning there. I memorized this verse a long time ago. Acts 10:38 says, hopefully you've got it in front of you. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus of Nazareth did not come with the Holy Spirit or with power. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The things Jesus did happened not because Jesus is God, but because God was with him. There's no other way to read that text. Jesus lays his own power aside, becomes human, and operates the same way you and I have to operate, living a human life through the power of the Holy Spirit. The difference is he did it perfectly. But this is the way that Jesus becomes our example. God anointed. I would challenge you to memorize that verse. I memorized that verse because I need that verse. Memorized it a number of years ago. I need that verse. And in fact, that verse characterizes the book of Acts. I know that we sometimes think the book of Acts is called, Acts is short for the Acts of the Apostles. It's probably more like the Acts of the Holy Spirit through ordinary people. Because actually, some of the stuff that gets said and done in Acts isn't through the apostles. It's through very ordinary people, like you and me. I challenge you to memorize that verse, Acts 10:38. So Jesus' agenda up front is, it's a ministry of the Holy Spirit that you guys need to hear about, speaking to his apostles. And you know what's really, really interesting? The ministry that we see in Acts is called the ministry of Jesus. Jesus leaves, the Holy Spirit comes, he lands on ordinary people, and it's called the ministry of Jesus. Look at verse 1. I wrote about all the things that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. He's referring back to the events of Jesus' life, saying that was just the beginning. The ministry of Jesus, the book of Acts says, is a ministry that began with Jesus' life, but the ministry of Jesus continues on. In other words, Theophilus, disciples, church, I'm writing these things to you to say Jesus continues to do his ministry work, but now it's still through the power of the Holy Spirit, but now Jesus does it through the power of the Holy Spirit through his ordinary people. It's through you. It's through me. And that's where I was stuck with the book of Acts for so, so long. This is Joel's analogy, but he said for the longest time, he felt like reading the book of Acts was like watching Marvel movies. It's Marvel comic books, superheroes, right? People who come with superpowers that it might be fun to read about, fun to watch, but are completely unrelated to the universe we actually live in. And that's how I read the book of Acts for most of my life. In fact, for most of my life, I did not like the book of Acts. It was somewhat interesting stories at times, but I couldn't relate to it because it felt like there was this separation between their experience and what I experienced, and I could see no way to get there. So it became simply something historical rather than something that's livable. And I was stuck there for so, so long. It was about those apostles back then. It was somewhat interesting, but it wasn't related to what's going on today. But that didn't come from the book of Acts itself. That was in the back of my U-Haul. I brought that belief with me to the book of Acts. And it doesn't actually pass the test of the book of Acts because it's what Jesus began to do and teach. But he continues to do it. Jesus' ministry was only a beginning. It's something that continues on. And when there were some things that clicked for me, and I found some people who were living into that reality of the power of the Holy Spirit in an ongoing way, and I started to see this is still happening. This is the stuff in here isn't simply the stuff of history, it's the stuff of present day reality, because Jesus continues to do his ministry through the power of the Holy Spirit in and through the people who follow Jesus. And now I read Acts differently. So I challenge you as we go through, as you read the book of Acts, to give yourself a slap on the wrist every time you tell yourself, well, that was Peter, and Peter is at a different level than I am. That was Paul. You know, they did that back then. They don't do that now. That does not pass the test of what the text says. So I want to live it. What might happen as we start reading this book is that we'll recognize that at times there is this big gap between how the book of Acts describes the church and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the word spreading and people coming to Jesus. There's this gap between that and what I am experiencing. And at that point, there will be an ache and a choice. We're going to feel like, oh, I need that, Lord. You said you'd do that. I don't see this in my life. This hasn't been my experience. And your choice at that point will be, do we pray into that? Or do we come up with new explanations to bless the gap between what Scripture says and sets its expectations at that level in our experience? Will we find ways to give explanation to that? Or will we lean into it in prayer and say, Lord, your word shows this. It's not my current reality. Would you help me understand why that isn't? And would you raise me up to your level of expectations for your church? Your level of expectations for the potential for a fully human life lived out through the power of the Holy Spirit? Will we let him rearrange our boxes? Given that the offer is God himself, the Holy Spirit, and power, I think I'm going to let him rearrange my boxes. It seems like a pretty good offer. So I'm calling us to read the book of Acts. Listen to the book of Acts. Get an audio Bible. I got Acts on my phone. Decent reader. It was like $2. Right? You can find those audiobooks, right? Listen to the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. Come ready. Don't just participate on Sunday morning. Read it through the week. This is the second longest book in the New Testament. Luke is the longest. Acts is the second longest. It's a long read, and I'm not going to do one chapter a week. It's too much. So we could be in Acts for a while, I think. These things are always somewhat fluid, but if you took a chapter a day and say we were in the book of Acts off and on, gaps and breaks and all that for maybe a couple of years even, and you read the book of Acts one chapter a day, as we progressed through this, you'd get so much of you. Oh, I challenge you. Think about that. So first, read the book of Acts. Second, pray into the gap where you see this difference between what Jesus describes, what the Lord describes in Scripture and our current experience. Pray into that and don't bless explanations that don't come from a text, right? Third, I have found it really, really helpful to find and listen to others, whether it's books, whether it's podcasts, or people that I know who want to see this lived out more and who have experienced more of it than I have. Would you put up the next slide, please? Here's just one example. I told you about this book a couple of weeks ago. So the book is called Chasing the Dragon. If you remember from a few weeks ago, this was this Jackie Pullinger, who's now in her 80s, but when she was in her 20s, I believe, went to China as a missionary by herself. No church backing, no missions organization, didn't know the language, but felt like the Lord had called her to Hong Kong. and started working with kids, and before she knows it, she's working with drug addicts. And before she knows it, these drug addicts are being set free through the power of the Holy Spirit in incredible ways. You could just listen to this podcast. It'd take you an hour, hour and a bit. Find people who share stories of the Lord currently at work. Because what happens is it will help you to take what's written here and see it lived out among us. I find it really, really helpful. I don't do it for sermon illustrations. I do it because it feeds part of my soul to have some help seeing it lived out. Check it out. I've shared so many names before. I've mentioned the book The Heavenly Man by Brother Yun, Chinese man. You will see the book of Acts lived out there, not only in terms of signs and wonders, but in terms of persecution and life under persecution in China and the spread of the gospel in incredible ways. You will see someone who lives a what you might call a word and spirit life, someone deeply grounded in the text, who memorizes long scriptures, like books, like Matthew, like 28 chapters, right? And then lives out of the power of the Spirit at the same time. Read The Heavenly Man. I read it to one of my sons. Read the book called The Acts of the Green Apple. So you can find it for free online. It's out of print. Another missionary family who lived a modern-day book of Acts. Read John Wimber. Listen to his testimony online. Listen to a guy named Ken Fish, Orbis Ministries. Find people who've said yes. I want to see this gap closed in my life between where the scripture says that I should be, that the church should be, that what Jesus talks about when he says, those who follow me will actually do greater works than I have done. And they're still doing it. Find those people. Because the Lord will build your faith in the process. And you will see God's word come alive. And it'll send you back to read his word again with fresh eyes. Come out on Sunday nights. You would be surprised how many times we have felt like we are living the book of Acts. We see it here. There are some people in this room right now that I have seen live out the book of Acts. We always say, Lord, close the gap. Help me not bless something less than what it is that you call your people to. And guide us along the way. Yep. He knows how we feel about the stuff in our U-Haul, right? And this is not at all to say, it's not a criticism series. It's an invitation series to a journey along just a wonderful, fascinating road filled with adventure with the Lord. Who doesn't want that? I didn't get a resounding amen, but I will pray into that anyway. Lord, I bless the work that you are doing among us and the work that you call us to. I bless your work in each person's life here right now. I thank you for each one. I thank you for your word. Thank you for the invitation that is there. Thank you for this call to live into your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. We haven't even talked about it yet, but Lord, we want to see good news going to everyone who needs it. As the passage we read today, it's the last thing Jesus says. We need your Holy Spirit for that. We need your power for that. We need your guidance and your help. So Lord, would you equip and guide us as we do this? Would you continue to build your church, and may we see that the gates of hell do not prevail. May we see that there is more and more life to be had as you pour yourself out. And may we see that go to all the places and the people where it is most needed. Because as we have sung today, it's all about you, Lord. It's about Jesus. We want to see Jesus get what he deserves, get the responses he deserves, get the praise that he deserves, get the obedience and the service that he deserves. Lord, may we see lives transformed. May we see cities transformed. May we see people healed and the dead raised and the good news shared with the poor. And may we not stumble over the things that we might encounter along a journey through the book of Acts. Lord, would you renew us in relationship with you, that this would be a time of engaging with you about the things that you love most, your church, your people, your world, your word, and your spirit. What an opportunity. Thank you so much, Lord. Have your way among us. We invite you into the U-Haul, front and back. In Jesus' name, amen. The last song that we're going to sing is Christ is My Firm Foundation. I picked that song partly as a way of saying if an inventory of the back of the U-Haul feels a little bit unsettling, Christ is my firm foundation. I also picked that song because whatever we build must be built on the rock. And that's what we want, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. So let's celebrate Jesus as we close. I didn't listen to that song before I chose it, and I'm sitting here going, man, it feels like I landed that as though like I'm about to roll the U-Haul or something like that. I just want to say it's all about Jesus. We're going to let God's word speak, and we can trust him. That's all I was trying to say. So sorry if that communicated slightly the wrong message. It's all about Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Blessings, friends. It's good to see you. Have a great week.